You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity and Radio Maria for this opportunity to bring everyone the gift of living in the divine will through the small, the little School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and yes, I'm joined today. Yes, I kept making the mistake saying Mother Gabriel when she was not, but Mother Gabriel is here. I was going to play the Welcome Back song by Welcome Back Cotter, but I was advised not to. One time is a charm, twice is a bore. But we are blessed to be alive. We're blessed to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and blessed to have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters today coming to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And the prayer we've been using is a supplication. Supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, again, without further ado, I'm going to bring in, we've been 4 weeks without her. I'm going to bring it back to the microphone, back to the studio, Mother Gabriel Marie. Hello, Mother. Welcome back.
Hello, Peter, and everybody out there. It's nice to be back with everybody. How is everything over there where you are? Is it warm?
Oh, it's warm. I've given up, we're so used to it. I sort of still catch myself. You know, when it's really warm, we say, oh, it's too warm. When it's too cold, oh, it's too cold. When it's raining, oh, it's too wet. I mean, enough. We woke up. Well, how bad a day can it be? Rain, slow, snow, sleet, hail, doesn't matter. We're here.
That's just what I was going to talk about, resignation. I was just reading one of Louisa's letters here about being resigned to the cross and everything that happens. You know, when I was home visiting my family, my sister was listening to a little talk Mother Angelica was giving, and somebody asked, how do we know God's will? And she says, what's happening to you right now is God's will. So whatever happens to us at every moment is God's will. It's either his permitting will or his ordaining will, you know, but it is his will. And he brings a greater good out of what is his will. Even things that we make happen to ourselves, that it's our own fault, God can use it for a greater good. He always does. When we resign to the cross, to the suffering that we have to endure because of it, and we thank and praise him for the cross and realize his hand in it, then, you know, we grow in holiness. Louisa was writing a letter to someone, and of course, this person must have been suffering from something. She says, I read your sorrowful letter, and from the heart, I feel compassion for you. However, pluck up courage. Do not abandon yourself to yourself. Rather, abandon yourself to God and in the arms of our Queen Mama. In your state of sorrow, they await you in their arms as their favorite one, because you are a daughter of sorrow. But they want you more peaceful and less concerned about your state, because apprehension worsens the trouble and makes one see it darker and maybe worse than it really is. And then, my daughter, I must tell you the truth. If you resign yourself, your state is the greatest state of sanctity. It is the jealousy of God that takes creatures away from you. It is because of the great love he has for you that jealous, wanting to be loved and loving you very much, he takes everyone away from you. Therefore, thank the Lord, for he has placed his divine eyes upon you to make of you a great saint. And if you are resigned and patient, you will convert the one who despises you, as you say. You will achieve victory over his cold heart and will conquer him to Jesus. So someone out there, maybe many people out there, might be suffering from relationships with other people. And our Lord took everyone away from Louisa. He put her in bed for 64 years. He wanted her all for himself. And that's what he wants with each one of us. Now, we're going to be with people. We live in a world, we're social people, we love families, we love friends, and that's good. God made it that way. But we have to be attached to him and him alone. We can't be attached to anyone, not even family members. We have to love everyone with a pure love. And I think the only way to get there is, like I always say, doing acts and rounds in divine will, letting him relive his life in you. You're going to see everyone through his eyes, and you're going to cease to be attached to people. You're going to love them with his love. You're going to see them with his eyes. You're going to love them in a different way. You know, it won't be an attached love. You won't be seeking. What is attachment? You're seeking for self. You're going to forget about self, and you can only be concerned about the other person. And that's true love. That's pure love. That's how God loves us. He loves us with such a pure, holy, good love. If we knew how much he loves us, we would die of joy. We couldn't live. And so he hides that love from us, and he'll reveal it to us on the day we meet him in eternity. Right now, we're waiting to be born into eternity. I'm getting older now. I like to think that I'm in my mother's womb, getting ready to be born into eternity. So don't look at old age as a curse, but as you're getting closer to your birth. And we want to do it right, live it right, so that you can have a glorious birth and a glorious eternity, which is heaven. Anyway, if I could go on here, she wrote further. She says, I recommend perfect resignation. This is the shortest and safest way, because with it, we hold a divine power in our hands. And we are not the ones who ask and pray, but the fiat itself asks and prays in us. So know that whatever you're asking and praying is, when you're living in his divine will, it's Jesus in you asking and praying. So it's a divine asking and praying. It's no longer you, because you're dying to self. You're nothing. Like you say, Peter, you often, many times you, like I do, mention the acts and rounds. You mentioned the shadow, that we're nothing but a shadow. And that's true. We are nothing but a shadow, and God is everything. So even when we're asking and praying, he's the one doing the asking and the praying in us. And that's, God, the Father cannot say no to his Son, just like his Son cannot say no to his mother. So we go to Mary, we go to Jesus, and that goes to the Father, and the Father will say yes, if it's according to his holy divine will.
Right. You know, I say the shadow, and that's a great analogy, only because it's not me saying it. Jesus said that, actually. But, you know, if you think about the analogy, how perfect it is, you know, a shadow exists. It's an entity. But there must be something that causes, you know, the uncaused, there must be something that causes that shadow. Remove the cause away, the shadow disappears. But as long as the cause is there, it remains. Same with God. When God is present, we are alive. When God is absent, we are dead. So it's really, I mean, God uses, like, this is so simple. He uses simple analogies to simple. See, this is simple truths to complicated souls. Really, that's what God's doing.
And the cause is what he made. He created us. We're the cause of the shadow.
That's right.
But we were God's creation. We didn't create ourselves, you know. So we have nothing to claim our own. Everything is given to us by God, and all we can do is return to him the gifts that he's given to us. We have nothing to give him except he gives it to us first. So we give the shadow to him by giving ourselves to him.
That's right. And he loves that shadow. The uncaused cause is the cause. Go figure. So poetic. Hello, sister.
Hello. Just to say a comment with Mother saying, you know, our nothingness and we are shadow. And it does require grace to be able to know that. It requires knowledge of self, because a person who doesn't know himself, he thinks he is the cause of everything, that he is the reason why everything exists, you know. But a person who has knowledge of self realizes that he is nothing. God is everything, and that he's mere shadow. He's not the object, the God that is the source of the shadow, but he merely is a shadow. He is not the source, but there is a real person, a real God in there, and we are reflections of that truth. I would like to read the passage from March 23rd, 1902, and it talks about knowledge of self, because that's basically the knowledge of self is what allows us to resign. Mother mentioned in the opening the resignation to whatever it is. And to be resigned, we have to have trust. And that trust comes from the knowledge of self, knowing that we have a God more powerful than anything else, more than powerful than ourselves. So Jesus tells Louisa in this passage, "My daughter, the support of true sanctity is the knowledge of self." And Louisa says, "Really?" And this is my question too. "Really, Jesus?" And he said, "Certainly, because with the knowledge of self, one undoes himself and leans completely on the knowledge he acquires of God in such a way that his operating is the very divine operating, since nothing is left of his own being." So nothing is left. So become nothing. We would know that everything that we do is coming from God. Everything that we are comes from God. And then Jesus continues, "When one's interior imbues and occupies itself with God alone and with all that belongs to him, God communicates all of himself to the soul. When her interior then occupies itself now with God, now with other things," mother mentioned earlier, attachments to family members or anything and attachments besides God, this is what she said, and God says, "Well, when an interior then occupies itself now with God, now with other things, God communicates himself to the soul in part." So to be able to detach ourselves from anything else other than God, it requires grace, as I mentioned. But this is also very hard to do because, you know, I mean, how can we detach ourselves from things visible? Like, for example, how can I detach ourselves from affection from our parents, from parents to children? You know, it's impossible without God's help. But God did put this desire to love, to care, to serve, but it has to be in the divine order. With this knowledge of self, we know that everything we do for each other, whether you care for your elderly parents, you care for your children, you care for your sisters, and all the service that you do has to be coming from the right order. You're doing this not for themselves, period. They're not the end. The end is God. To help our brothers and sisters is the means to love God. Because God says, "How can you claim to me you love me when you don't love your brothers and sisters that you can see? How can you tell me that you love me, I whom you cannot see, if you don't love your neighbors whom you can see?" So basically, loving, serving our neighbors, because love is not an emotion, it's not an idea, it is also an action. And God is love. And God acts in us and we act in him. So with that, living in a divine will, it includes service. It includes the movement of our flesh, of our body. So it's not, God does not only possess our soul, but our body as well.
And you know, and so that service, it's not a logical service. It's not like, okay, I must serve today. It becomes a natural response to serve. You know, once we become attentive and recognize that God is all in everything we do, you know, again, how many times do I forget when I wake up in the morning? Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to wake up from that sort of semi-coma that you placed me in so that my body can get rest. How many times do we say thank you for allowing me to open my eyes when many this morning did not open their eyes for whatever reason? God's permissible will is so I won't call it strange, but it's so mystical that it will never be figured out. God is God, and God will do what God wants to do when he does it, but we know God only does good, so we don't have to worry about anything. It's just so beautiful, so beautiful. Attentive, that's another word that just came to me today. It's only because I was told yesterday, it was suggested to me by my wife to do a few things yesterday, and I wasn't attentive. I didn't listen. I didn't actually hear. I wasn't paying attention. And I didn't do two of the three. So I got in a little bit of trouble. So attentive is on my mind today. And again, I think God's going to help with that. Sisters? Did we lose anything? Yeah, I think the volume just cut out there. But you know, while you're fixing the volume, is it back?
Hopefully. I don't know if there it is. Okay, connection.
Now it is. Now it is. Yeah, it's back now.
Okay. So we don't know what you just said. So sorry. I won't be able to totally piggyback off.
It wasn't that important. I was just saying, I don't even know what I was saying. I was saying about how the reason why the word attentive has become important to me today was because my wife asked me to do a couple important things yesterday that I forgot to do, or at least I wasn't paying attention to when she told me. So I understand now that I need to be more attentive. So I'm doing it today. And I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Again, habit will make it habitual. Habitual, hopefully make it second nature. All the things we say. It is true. What we say, we just have to put into practice. Sister?
Yeah, it's one thing to say stuff and to understand it. It's another thing to actually live it. I want to go off a little off script because something
I hope that so.
And Mother and Sister Magdalena were talking about, you know, when we're struggling in our relationship, attachment. And there's just been a passage from the book of Hosea, chapter 2, verses 14 to 20, that brings me a lot of comfort, you know, at the times when I feel lonely. I mean, we all feel lonely at times. And really, that loneliness is a gift. It's really God calling us to long for him alone. So I just want to read that because, you know, it might be comforting to some other people out there. Therefore, behold, I will allure you and bring you into the wilderness and speak tenderly to you. And on that day, says the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from your mouth, and they shall be mentioned by name no more. And I will make for you a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and the war from the land. And I will make you lie down in safety, and I will espouse you forever. I will espouse you in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will espouse you in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And just that, especially that last line, you shall know the Lord. The word know that's used in scripture, that I think it's the original Greek, is the same word that's used to refer to Adam knowing Eve when they produced fruit. Like that's the depth of the intimacy that God wants to have with us. I had heard it said, you know, the heart, you can describe all of salvation history in 5 words. God wants to marry you. And I think we find that in the divine will. But it's just so beautiful. But in these moments of our life, when we really feel like the Lord is bringing us out into the wilderness, maybe we feel lonely, rejected, abandoned, and maybe we're suffering, you know, some real wounds there, you know, maybe wives or husbands that have been abandoned by their spouses. I mean, these are all real pains that the Lord, you know, wants us to bring to him, and he's certainly suffering them with us. But at the same time, these moments in our lives, these moments of wilderness are such great graces because they're drawing us closer to him. And in that wilderness, that's where he's going to espouse us because we can't have other Baals. We can't have other husbands. You know, our whole heart needs to belong to him. And that may seem, especially, you know, maybe for married couples out there, you know, we're not married, but we live in community. We live with sisters. Does that mean I don't have to care about my sisters anymore? Does that mean husbands and wives don't have to care about each other anymore? But it's actually the opposite, because when our heart belongs fully and wholly to the Lord, that's when we're totally free. And only in freedom can we really learn to love. So in that way, we actually love our spouses more. I'm able to love my sisters more. We're able to love our family more because we're not searching for something from them. We're giving our hearts totally in self-gift to them because that's what God is asking of us. You know, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. He wants us to love them as he loves us. But sometimes, like Mother was saying, you know, we get hurt, you know, we may have struggles with our relationships, but if you can just open your heart and those struggles to the Lord, he'll show you that he's with you in that pain, but that he's also drawing you closer to him, which really is the goal. It's the goal of our life. God wants to marry us. He wants our will totally married with him.
And when you're struggling with those relationships, the sooner that you become more resigned to the situation, the quicker you get over the pain and the suffering from that, because we suffer because we're attached to things, attached to relationships. And when the relationship falls, the cross comes. But as soon as we can attach ourselves to God more and get over it, it's just like a person loses a loved one. It takes time to heal. But some people get healed of the situation quicker than others, even though there's always a loneliness there and a missing of the person that you love so much. But I think that the more resigned you become to the situation, the easier it is to be able to accept it. I heard that this testimony of this couple that they had five children. And this man was a minister of an Assembly of God church. And he and his wife and his five children and the little next door neighbor boy, and they had the dog with them, had gone to a camp for the weekend. And on Sunday afternoon, they had two cars. A 16-year-old boy was driving their car, the one car. And the parents, after the service, they had gone to the service at the church. The parents said, "Will you go on ahead of us?" They told the children. The youngest must have been about seven or eight years old. And then we'll come at later. We'll lock up the church and we'll go home later. So on the way home, they saw this terrible accident and they stopped. And it was all five of their children dead and the little boy next door dead in the car. A drunk man had gone into their car and killed them all. And at the funeral, the parents were consoling everybody there. Now, how could they do that? But that they had a great love for God. They had such a love for God. The mother said, you know, she couldn't understand why God was transforming her children so quickly. They had all received what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a personal relationship with Jesus a year before. And they were all just growing into perfection so quickly. And she didn't know why, but God was getting ready to call them all home with him. Since then, they've started another family. They've got more children. But I'm sure it wasn't easy. I'm sure they missed them. But they were able to stand tall and really accept what had happened and be resigned to God's permitting will. That had to be his permitting will. So I know many people out there may have struggles and sufferings because they've lost loved ones and maybe tragically. And so, just turn to the Lord and seek him. Seek him. And with time, there's healing takes place, but it usually takes time. You have to be patient, but you have to be resigned to whatever God allows in your life.
Right. And that wilderness that you spoke about, sister, earlier, you know, the wilderness isn't necessarily a bad place to be. And, you know, wilderness can come in a myriad of different ways. Doesn't necessarily mean the forest, but then again, that's what we usually think. I think about the wilderness. One thing that comes to mind, you know, back in the sixth century, when the church was having extreme difficulties, Rome was basically falling apart, and into the city entered this young man, this debonair young man, who took one look at the crumbling surroundings and the pornographic lifestyles. He quickly left the city and went to the wilderness to regroup himself, and there God spoke to him. And we know him as Benedictus of Nursia. In other words, Saint Benedict. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So the wilderness is a great place. We have our own wildernesses. Sometimes it's in our spare bedroom, or sometimes I go to brush my teeth. That's my sanctuary sometimes, because no one's coming in there. I'm going to be there by myself, just God and I. I pray that I do a good job. But see, the wilderness can be anything we make it. Just a time away from things, I think, is what you mentioned, sister. And mother said the same thing. Time to hear God. I mean, how could you hear God in the middle of Fifth Avenue with honking horns and people screaming and cars and trucks going by? You can't. But in the wilderness, in our own little sanctuary, wherever it may be, in our house, doesn't have to be a fancy place, we hear God. And that's where we get our direction. Simplicity. I think you lost the volume again, Mother.
One of Louisa's letters. Peace, trust, courage, resignation, and prayer. And the Lord won't be missing to you. All that the Lord allows for you is nothing but means to become a saint. Therefore, do not bother about what your thoughts say to you, but kiss the divine will, which disposes everything for our good.
Amen.
So, I don't know if we're getting ready for a break here.
I have about 2 minutes, Mother, if you want to finish up on that. Or
just further in that letter, she says, crosses make us to be reborn in a new life of sanctity and of grace. Therefore, the crosses which are born with true resignation make us like Jesus and are our rebirths in good, in love, and in the divine volition, which wants to be our life. So let us make everything flow in the holy will if we want it to perform its prodigies of love in our soul. So, you know, ask God for the grace throughout the day to accept your crosses, to be resigned to whatever happens. Realize everything at the moment is his will for you. Whatever's happening, he allows it. And it may be that somebody else is at fault and they cause you a cross. But if accepting that with resignation is going to make it much easier for you than if you rebel against it. If you complain and criticize and feel like you don't deserve that treatment, we deserve much worse than what we get because we're sinners. Jesus got much worse than we're going to ever get, and he was sinless. And so why do we think we need to be treated like queens and kings, you know, because we are sinners, and even the smallest venial sin on the side of the perfection of God is a terrible atrocity. So to realize that, you know, we deserve much worse than we ever get, so accept it. The little crosses, and that's how you're going to grow in holiness. When people misunderstand you, when they're rude to you, they say nasty things about you, to praise and thank God for that. He's, that scripture says, jump for joy when you're persecuted. Do we feel like jumping for joy when we're persecuted? If you try it in your house, you're going to get happy all of a sudden. You're going to realize how silly it is to worry about such a terrible thing, you know, a crazy thing like being criticized, you know, because Jesus was criticized much worse than you can ever be criticized. And he was God. He was perfection. And yet we're not perfection and we're not God. So we deserve it. And so be grateful to God that you don't get worse. You don't get what you really deserve. And then that way things are easy. You know, you don't get as much as what you deserve. So I know I don't. So I should be grateful for every little cross that comes my way. And I think if we think that way, the crosses won't be so difficult. They won't be so painful. You know, don't take yourself so seriously. Realize that just take God seriously. He's the one behind everything that happens to us, and we're in his hands, and he will take care of everything. Just trust in him. Don't trust in things that are going on in the world. Don't worry about all the things going on in the world. It's not important. Things will happen, but it's okay. God is going to purify the world, and that's a good thing. We want it purified. We don't have to worry about politics or who's going to win. Whatever God allows in our lives is according to his most perfect will for us to grow in holiness, for us to be transformed, for the divine will to reign throughout the world, and Our Lady's Immaculate Heart to triumph very soon. So, just pray for the world, but don't get worried. He says, when you worry out of his will, you don't want to get out of his will. So try not to worry.
Amen. Great advice, Mother. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Catholic voice. Yes, a Catholic voice in our homes. I'm going to go into the break with a one-liner from Jesus, March 26, 1933. Great advice. He says to Luis and to us, quote, therefore, you must content yourself with remaining alive without you being the master, end quote. It takes grace. It's been 6,000 years since the fall of Adam. He's given us everything we need. We finally arrive. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
I finally arrived here. to burn. I've seen the tables turn. I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria, once again for this opportunity to bring the divine will to all who want to listen. Yeah, it's just incredible. Yeah, we want to also mention that Radio Maria does this. Yeah, none of the volunteers are paid. That's what, hence they're volunteers. All the programming are volunteers. But it does take money to bring this transmission into your cars, into your homes, into your place of business. So we ask you, please, if you can, I mean, God knows what we can and cannot do. Whatever we cannot give financially, we give spiritually. And whatever we can give spiritually and financially, we give both. Because, again, God loves the giver. And again, what are we giving? We're giving back what's God's anyway. Yeah, so, again, if you can be generous. Especially on a monthly basis. That's what they're really, Radio Maria is striving this quarter to try to set up their monthly so that they know X amount of dollars are coming in on this day or this month so they can appropriate their bills. They can look for other opportunities, but you can't do that when you really don't know what you have or when you're going to have it. So again, whatever the amount, if we have a lot of people pledging a little bit, that's all we need. But please go to radiomaria.us. on the internet, or simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201, or radiomaria.us. We're also going to offer a gift, actually two gifts, for anyone calling in a pledge, please. And whether you're calling in the pledge, if you're listening to this live or even in the archives, it's fine. Any time of the night, as long as there's a volunteer on the phone, please give them a call. And we'll offer you both, number one, a Luisa Picaretta relic card, which has a piece of Luisa's clothing and the contact information on the back of the card, whom to call when you experience your miracle, number one. Number two, an I Am Catholic card, which is about the size and density and thickness of a credit card. Only this card will not incur debt, but rather be an asset for you. It says, in case of an emergency, please call a priest, as the acts of contrition on the back. Again, all these are free as a gift for your generosity, both spiritually as well as financially in this endeavor. And please do so if you can. Again, God knows what you can do and what you cannot do. Mother, sisters, I know Sister Justenda is going to be starting. You know, one thing that I read in again, that March 26th, I don't have the volume number. All I have is the date, but you can figure out what volume it is. March 26th, 1933. Jesus talks about the DNA. You know, Mother, we talked about this is in our DNA. We know what this is. It's ours. But listen to what Jesus says. He gives a great analogy, as he always does. Quote, this life of ours still exists in the soul. The divine will is in the soul. It was given to her by us at the beginning of her creation. But it is so repressed and hidden that it is as if it did not have it. It is like the fire. Listen to this. This is great. It is like the fire under the ash that covered and as though crushed under it. It does not feel the benefit of the life of the heat. But suppose a strong wind comes, the ash disperses from over and under the fire, and the fire makes its life seen and felt. The same strong wind of the light of my fiat will place in flight the evils, the passions, and as the ash hide the divine life in them, the feeling its vitality, they will be ashamed not to allow our divine will to dominate. End quote. So God just says, you may not see it, you may not feel it, it's there. Give God's grace an opportunity. Be attentive. Do what Jesus, what our lady say to the servants? Do what he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. We can say the same thing. Our lady is saying to us, do what our Lord tells you. He's telling us everything to do. The simplicity of the divine will in the book of heaven, in the hours of the passion, in the Virgin Mary of the kingdom. It's all here, Mother. Except your volume.
We're just looking at a video about that how we're... laminin. We're laminated. Where we're held together with this. It's like a cross, and we're made to the image and likeness of God. We've got the name of Jesus, I think in Hebrew, in every one of our cells. They say we're made to his image and likeness. So we need to just live for him and him alone. And, you know, he wants to make us little gods because that's how he created us, to be his, totally his.
Amen. Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hello. So earlier in this program, Sister Magdalena was talking about how if you don't like love your neighbors or your brothers and sisters that you can see, how can you love the God that you can't see? So it's really important for us to love our neighbors with detachment and to not to be attached and to just love everyone with Jesus's own eyes. So today during lesson time, we were talking about spiritual maternity, about being spiritual mothers of souls. And I thought it was really touching and beautiful. So connecting to that, the divine will passage I have here is from day 20, the Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. So this is just a little excerpt from day 20. So Our Lady tells us, this fiat, which by nature possesses the generative virtue, generates all goods in the creature. It renders her fecund, giving her maternity over all goods, and over the one who created her. Maternity says and means true love, heroic love, love which is content with dying to give life to the one it has generated. Without this, the word maternity is sterile. It is empty and is reduced to a mere word, but does not exist in fact. Therefore, my child, if you want the generation of all goods, let the fiat take its operating life in you, which will give you maternity, and you will love everyone with the love of a mother. And I, your mama, will teach you how to fecundate this maternity, all holy and divine within you. So in the divine will, we can all be mothers of souls. Like when we pray for souls past, present, and future, since God is outside of time, we can do all these acts and rounds also. And in this way, we can be mothers of many souls that, and in this life on earth, we may not know all those souls that we were spiritual mothers of. But in heaven, Jesus will reveal to us the beauty of being a spiritual mother. And so we're all called to be spiritual mothers in the divine will, not only women, but also men too. And then another passage about how we can live better in the divine will is by is by studying the life of Christ more. And in volume 22, June 12th, 1927, Jesus tells Louisa how to maintain the relations existing between Redeemer and redeemed ones, and how to know, and in order to know these relations, how one must study the life of Christ. So Jesus tells us, each of my words, works, steps, heartbeats, and pains were all bonds with which I came to bind all the redeemed ones. But who is bound? One who studies my life and tries to imitate me. As she imitates me, she remains bound to my words, works, steps, etc., receives their life, and will have the hearing to be able to listen to all my teachings, the mind to comprehend them, and the eyes to read all the characters impressed within me in coming to redeem mankind. So the more we live in the divine will, the more we acquire Jesus's temperament. And I don't remember exactly which passage it was, but Jesus tells us that the more we live in the divine will, the more we acquire Jesus's temperament, which is perfect. He has each of the perfect temperaments. And also we become more like Our Lady too. And a great way to study more about the life of Christ is, of course, reading all the divine will writings, the hours of the passion, the scripture, like private revelations, like Maria Volturta's poem of the man God. That also really helps to know about the humanity of our Lord. And in this way, it really helps us to be more like Jesus, to live in the divine will.
Amen.
Yeah, so, I just wanted to say what Mother said before about the name of God written in ourselves. It's actually, the name of Yahweh, the four Hebrew letters, because all Hebrew letters, they have numbers pointed to them. So the code, the genetic code, you can look it up on the internet, but it's really amazing. And also that laminin, a protein in our body, in our cells, it's so amazing how God's creation, all of it talks to us, the love of God, and how amazingly, marvelously he created everything for us. I mean, it's just astonishing. Like, and for all the scientists, for all his children that are, very curious and want to search into the depths of creation. And God created so many different pathways to find him. Some find him, maybe some scientists find him through their research, maybe some find him through suffering, through other circumstances of life. And it just reminded me, I was talking to Sister Francesca the other day. It was amazing what she said from some book, about Lazarus. We were talking something how, many times there's this temptation, you want to be like someone else, or you want to be like this saint or that saint, but God created each one of us with a specific purpose, like that is unique to each one of us. Like, for example, Lazarus' biggest mission and purpose was when he was a dead corpse. That's when he glorified God the most. He just gave his dead body and Jesus resurrected him. It was the great miracle that brought so many to God.
Well, he was dying to serve God.
What?
He was dying to serve God. I know, don't give up my day job.
Exactly. So, and Mother was talking about their resignation, and I have here the passage from volume 34, March 26, 1937. And it was really amazing to read this. I mean, everything in Divine Will is amazing. But so it talks about sufferings and how each one of us has a part of redemption, actually, with together with Jesus. So it says here, Jesus is telling, now these souls who live in my will are disposed to receiving all the sufferings of my humanity, because it being impossible for me to suffer, because I'm glorious in heaven, my will with its omnipotent breath creates the sufferings, the sorrows, and forms there my living humanity that substitutes for me in everything. And they are the new saviors who give their life in order to save the entire world. Did you hear that? It says, they are the new saviors who give their life in order to save the entire world. I mean, and it's talking about the children of the divine will.
Incredible.
In fact,
it is. It's incredible.
It's really incredible. In fact, from heaven, I look at the earth and I find as many Jesuses who, taken by the same folly of my love, give their life at the cost of sufferings and of death in order to tell me, I am your faithful copy. The sufferings make me smile because I enclose souls. And I, oh, how I love them. I do not feel alone anymore. I feel happy, victorious, because having company in developing the same life, in suffering the same sufferings, in wanting what I want, is my greatest happiness and my paradise on earth. So it this doesn't mean that, you know, we need to go like whip ourselves or like the saints from the past, or inflict suffering upon ourselves. This is not what God wants, but he has a specific and unique purpose, and for each one of us a part in his redemptive suffering, which is completely accepting his will and living this suffering in his divine will.
Yeah, we all have an office, and there's no greater or lesser office. You know, it's all, you know, I mean, some may look like they're busy, or maybe they're in a position where they can be louder, but you know, God has a puzzle, and the puzzle can only be complete, cannot be complete until all the pieces are accounted for and put together. Right, Sister Gloria?
Yes. Yeah, we've been.
Do you like puzzles? Do you like working with puzzles?
Puzzles.
Yeah. Puzzles.
Like puzzles? Yes.
Yeah, I get frustrated. Life, you know, really, I'm very frustrated. My granddaughter loves puzzles, but I'm very frustrated at those. I don't have a good knack with puzzles.
Yeah. I believe at the end of our life, at the end of our life, we'll be able to see the completed puzzle.
The big puzzle of God. That's right.
I mean, everything in creation, it really leads us towards the will of God, the beauty of God, and he's really in every creature, or even the Jesus, who is the visible form of God. He shows how much he loves us, and he wants to bring us to the eternal life. And like Sister Francesca said, all he wants from us is he wants to marry us. He wants to bring us this ultimate spiritual marriage with each one of our souls. My volume is from volume 27, December 25th, 1929. My daughter, my birth in time was the rebirth of my divine will and my humanity. And as it was reborn in me, it brought the good news of its rebirth in the human generations. My fiat is eternal, but it can be said that it was as though born in Adam in order to form the long generation of the rebirth in the creature. But since Adam rejected this divine will, by rejecting it, he prevented the many rebirths it was to have in each creature. And with constant and invincible love, it waited for my humanity in order to be born again in the midst of the human family. Therefore, everything I did in the whole course of my life, the baby tears, my moans and wailings, were nothing other than rebirths of my divine will that were formed in me, so as to make it be reborn in creatures. In fact, it being reborn in me and possessing it as my own, I had the right and the power to give it and make it be reborn in the creature. So everything that my humanity would do, steps, works, and words, pains, and even my breath, and my very death,
form as many rebirths of my divine will for as many creatures as would have the good of the rebirth of my divine fiat. Since I am the head of the human family and eat my members as the head I called with my acts, I call the many rebirths of my divine volition within me to let them pass to be reborn in my members, the creatures. Therefore, there was not one act I did, even my very sacramental life. Each consecrated host are continuous rebirth of my supreme volition that he prepares for the creature. So I am the true sacrificed one of a cause so holy that my will may reign. So really the birth of Jesus, it was the birth of the divine will in his humanity. And everything he did, it was for the rebirth of the divine will in order to give it to us to be reborn in all creatures. And he was truly the sacrifice, the true sacrifice one of the divine will. So every time we do acts and rounds, there is the life, divine life in the fiat. And the more we do, the more acts we do in the divine will receive more divine life, the holy life in us. And he really did everything for us all his life. He, in the divine will, he did it for us to give it to us so that we can live in the true happiness of divine will. And when we remember, when we do the rounds, when we remember what he did when he was on earth, his love is renewed. It gets doubled. His seas of love gets doubled. And he's waiting. He waits us with so much love so that we can remember and do the rounds in all his acts of the divine will, because everything is present in the divine will. So he's waiting there with so much love, so that he can give us the divine life and divine love to us when we do the rounds, because he wants to say, daughter, I did it for you, and I did this for you, and I want you to recognize what I've done for you. Like same thing when we did, if for example we have my family members for our best friends, if it's their birthday, then you prepare the cakes and you even buy the presents, and you want to make them know like what you did, what you prepare for them out of love. And same thing with Jesus, with God. He wants us to recognize his love in everything, in all the creatures, in his passion, in his throughout his whole life. Because if we distance ourselves with somebody, then how can we love that person? But most of us, we think that he's somebody who's very distant, he's very far from us and very indifferent to our sufferings and our life. But he wants to pour out his love and his attributes in us. And he's telling us that I am with you and I am in you. So let us remember that, that he is always in us, his presence. And it is the divine will that makes us realize the presence, God's presence in us.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Gloria. That was beautiful. Beautiful. Mother, I'll wrap things up. We've got about a minute or so.
Okay, I'll just read another one for Larissa, a little bit of one of her letters here. It says, pluck up courage. Dear Jesus will not leave you alone. It is sufferings that wound his heart and draw him with an irresistible force to be together with the creature, to give her the merit of his own pains, and to adorn her with divine marks so as to make her similar to himself. His love makes feasts when he finds us resigned, because he can give us the shape he wants. Therefore, I recommend to you, let Jesus find you in his most holy will, and he will make a prodigy of your soul. And the more you feel alone, the more you will feel close to Jesus. He will give you his strength and his graces, and with your pains, He will form the most refulgent suns and the most precious pearls. We don't like to suffer. We run away from the pain. We run away from loneliness. We run away from the cross. That's how we find Jesus. We have to go through the cross. We have to go through the loneliness, go through the dryness and the darkness many times to find that deep union with him, whereas we have perfect joy then. But we don't want to go through what we have to go through to get there. And so just resign yourself. Be willing to carry the cross. Be willing to die. Be willing to be lonely and to just seek him. Sometimes you may be before the Blessed Sacrament praying. You don't feel a thing. You say, where is he? What am I doing here? Just sit there and look at him. And let him look at you and just love him and just say, I love you, Jesus. And he'll be tickled pink over that love that you give him. Amen.
Good mother. Seek ye the kingdom first. I'd like to end with something that Jesus tells us. This is really important. You know, we know our soul ultimately will only reside in one of two places. It's either hell or heaven. Also, the gift that he's giving us and the gifts that he gives us only reside in one of two places. He tells us in volume 35, January 16th, 1938, now, if the soul responds to the call, the gift is confirmed. But if she does not respond, the gift remains suspended between heaven and earth. End quote. Respond, acts and rounds, gratitude. Thank you, Lord, doing his will, all moving God to receive this gift. Thanks be to God. Thanks to Radio Maria. God willing, we'll see each other next Thursday. Ciao.